are on the last line on Nun Gimel Amud Beis 53b. Dealing with checking a drusa, we had talked about checking a drusa a little bit already in terms of how far in the, or I say in terms of redness of the flesh. But Rav Amar Papi Boy Rav Bibi Barabai asked, Veshet Nikuvasa b'mashu drusaso b'mashu kana Nikuvasa b'kiisar drusaso b'kama. That was the question. He says, I know when you're dealing with a vesha, which is the esophagus, the animal becomes a trefa if it has a hole of any minimal size, and therefore my assumption is also that if you take the view that redness of the simanim is something we look for and will be a sign that it's undergone drisa and that it's therefore a trefa, also any minimal redness would qualify. Any redness of any small spot would already qualify. But kane, regarding the trachea, the shear for a hole is ki'isa, an iser coin. So drusas obakama, what's the measure of redness? How much of a space needs to be red in order for us to call this animal a drusa and therefore a trefa? So basar divaya hadar pashta. After the question was asked, he then answered it, echad zeve mashu, that either way, the redness is a mashu, whether you're dealing with an esophagus or you're dealing with a trachea. My time or why? Ziare mikla kali va'azil. Because the toxin, or whatever this is, whether you call it bacterial infection or toxin or whatever, burns and travels. And the concern there is that even a mashu of redness indicates some problem that's now going to be fatal to the animal. So any minimal space. We had talked about checking the animal for opposite the chalal, which we said was opposite the b'nei me'ayim, opposite the innards. So now the Gemara wants to know more about that. Yasi Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta kamed Rav Nachman. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta sitting in front of Rav Nachman. V'yasi v'ka Amar, and he says, Drusa sha'amru tzricha b'dika k'neged b'nei me'ayim. He says that the shita is, the view is, that we check opposite the innards. So Rav Nachman Omar, or Omar Le Rav Nachman says back to him, that's the addition in the margin, and that makes sense. Ha'elokim, he says, this is a favorite exclamation of Amoraim. We've seen various Amoraim use this exclamation. Rav Nachman Yitzchak does it, I think Rav Papa does it, I think Rav Chisda does it. So he says, Ha'elokim, mori ba rav mikafa ve'ad atma. He says, Rav's ruling was that you check from kapha to atma. So what is kapha to atma? The atma we know is the thigh. The thigh or the hip. But what's the kapha? My kapha. Ile ma kapha diyada, if you mean kapha diyada, not kaf as in the palm, but Rashi, according to Rashi, it's etzem rechavash al katef. It's the broad bone by the shoulder. So ile ma kapha diyada, if what you mean is from the shoulder all the way down to the hip, hainu k'neged b'nei me'ayim. So then what's your objection? That's the same thing. It's opposite the innards. That's all Rashi's approach. Tosfos objects to this. He says that it's further down, because Tosfos says the term b'nei me'ayim in an animal, in the language of the Gemara as opposed to the Mishnah, doesn't include the upper inner organs. B'nei me'ayim means like the intestines. It doesn't mean the lung. It doesn't mean things that are way up. But going with Rashi, the statement that he made was that you check from the shoulder to the all the way down to the hip. So that's the same thing as opposite b'nei me'ayim. Elami kapa democha ad atma. Rather, his shear was larger because he said from the base of the skull you're checking all the way on down. And the point is to include the simanim and to say that you check the throat, opposite the throat also, for the redness that would indicate that an act of drisa had taken place. So that was his objection. He said, I believe you should be checking further along. He said, which in fact is what we hold. He salak with Chia bar Yosef, Hashkechinu Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, and the Yasviu ka'amri drusa sha'amru tzvicha b'dika k'neged b'nei me'ayim. So Chia bar Yosef encounters Rabbi Yochanan and v'Reish Lakish saying that you check opposite the b'nei me'ayim. Omar lo, he says to them, Ho Elokim, there we go again. Mori barav mikapa v'aratma. He says, Rav ruled that you check even further. Amar le Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says to him, Manu Rav, Manu Rav. Who is this Rav people keep telling me about? V'lo yadanalei, I never heard of him. I don't know what you mean. And this is actually a very serious statement. He's not joking. He's not trying to insult Rav. He's serious. I don't know who this Rav person is. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Veloni Hirolei Laoso Talmud Hashemesh as Rabbi Rabba Rabbi Chia. He says, don't you remember? Don't you remember that student who, when we were in yeshiva, used to serve the great Rabbi and used to serve Rabbi Chia. Rav's role was that he was the shamash for Rabbi Yudan Asi, as well as Rabbi Chia, the relative. The Voelokim kol osan shanim sheshimesh oso talmud bi yeshiva anishi mashti ba'amida. You should know, all the years when he used to serve sitting down, I served standing up, meaning I was the lesser. Rabbi Yochanan, who was the Rebbe of Reish Lakish, I was second to Rav. Uman Gavar, and who was greater? Who Gavar Bakola? He was greater in everything, which Rashi says means both in Torah and in Chassidus. He was more pious and he was wiser than I was. So why in the world are you messing with Rav? Miyad Pasach Reish Lakish V'amar Brom Zechor Oso Ish Latov Sha'amru Shmua Mipiv. He said, you know what? Yeah, that man is remembered for the good because they said Torah in his memory, in his name. They quoted him. This business of Reish Lakish remembering Rav or knowing of Rav is a fascinating piece in and of itself. If you remember the Gemara above Mitzia, I gave you the reference there on the sheet. I think from above Mitzia Peidal, where they talk about Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish meeting each other by the river, and Rabbi Yochanan getting Reish Lakish to go learn. So from that story itself, it sounds like Reish Lakish was never in yeshiva as a younger man. But Tosfos there points out it's not so, that we see elsewhere that Reish Lakish did have some kind of career in yeshiva first, then he went off and became a bandit, and then Rabbi Yochanan brought him back, which actually what was going on. So the so this supports that idea.
There's more than one Reish Lakish.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's more than one Reish Lakish. I think I'm only familiar with one.
There's one who's
right, that's the only one I know of.
There's one also in the Mishnah.
I don't remember one. If you could find it for me, I'd be very interested. I don't remember seeing a Reish Lakish in the Mishnah. Doesn't mean it's not there. But yeah. So this would appear to be a reference to his first stint in yeshiva. Theoretically, it could be a later stint, but I don't think the age doesn't work out for this to be something that happened later in life. So Reish Lakish says, I don't know who this Rav is. Rabbi Yochanan explains it. He says, I remember. And now this continuation, as I understand it, is him saying something that was learned from Rav about Trefos. The Gemara here presents it as being anonymous. The Shmuta Ushchuta Kshera Shei Efsher L'Shmuta Shatei Aseh Shechuta. He says, if you're dealing with an animal that is shmuta ushchuta, meaning that you shecht an animal and you find that the trachea has actually been pulled away from the flesh, but what you don't know is whether that happened before or after the act of shchita, so he says, kshera, we assume it's kosher. Why? Sheyasher l'shmuta shetei ase shechuta, because you can't, if the trachea had been pulled away, you couldn't have done a proper shchita cut on the trachea. It must be that it was pulled out afterwards. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Yavi V'Yakif. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to do a check. And the check that you do is you bring, now Yavi as he explains it is, as Rashi explains it, as Tosus explains it here, is that you make another cut, you put it next to this one, and you actually compare them to see, do they look the same? Because this new cut that you're making is for sure after the Shemitah. So you see, will it look like the previous cut? If it looks like the previous cut, then the previous cut was also after the trachea got pulled. If it's not, if it doesn't look the same, then the previous cut was before the trachea got pulled. That's the way that Rashi and Tosfos say it. Frankly, the language of the Gemara sounds like you're cutting a different animal, and you're comparing that to this one. However, Tosfos doesn't like that idea, because he says you can't compare from one animal to another animal. The cuts are going to look different. The reddening of the flesh is going to look different. You can't make that comparison. We're in the middle of the page on Nundalat Amad Aleph. Amr of Nachman. Rav Nachman says, to close this point, Lo shanu ela shalon tafas bisimanim. Aval tafas bisimanim b'shachat efshar l'shmuta shetei aseh shechuta. Rav Nachman says, if he gripped the simanim when he cut, then even if it was shmuta, even if the trachea had been pulled away from the flesh, it would have held steady, and your shchita cut would have been a good shchita cut. So therefore, you can't tell me anything about being unable to make a proper shchita cut. When it's shemuta, it's not so. It could theoretically have been removed from the flesh that it's supposed to be anchored in before you did the shechita cut, and therefore the fact that you did a shechita on it does not prove that it was not shemuta at the time. That's his argument. Okay, so that concludes the discussion of checking a drusa. We saw that you look for redness. We saw the shear on the trachea that you have to check. We talked about checking opposite the chalal, opposite the intestines inside, or checking a broader space. And finally, this last issue of determining whether the trachea had been uprooted before or after the shechita cut. That brings us to the Gemara's last point on that Mishnah. This has all been building off of that Mishnah from 12 days ago, from Min Beis. And what we want to know is, the last line in the Mishnah, after we had listed a whole bunch of different trefos, the last line in the Mishnah said, Zeh HaKlal, here's the rule, Kol She'in Kamo HaChaya Trefa. If it can't live, it's a trefa. That was our concluding thought. So the Gemara asks, La Suye Mai, what are you including with that? What did you mean to bring in here? You already listed all these different trefos. So he says, La Suye Shev Shmaisa. Remember that the Gemara at the back, in the beginning of the Perek, made reference to seven additional lessons. That's what we're including. It was the bottom of Membeis and Medal, top of Membeis and Medbeis. So now our point is going to be, that's it, that's the list. We don't add things to the list. If we determine that an animal can die from some other wound, that doesn't go on the trefa list. Devei Yosef Rishba, Machu Begida Nasha Vekali. And here's an example. Rishba is a hunter, the one who sets out the traps. So the people from the house of, meaning the people he taught probably, Yosef the hunter, used to hit the animal on the Gid Hanasha, that sciatic area. Vekali, and the animal would die. They would kill the animal that way. Asla kamed Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. So they came to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Amarlo, and he said to them, doesn't matter. Vechila osif ala trefos yesh. You think you could add on to the list of trefos? Ein lucha elamasha manu chachamim. The only things that are trefos are the ones that chachamim listed. That's it. Second story, before we come back to this one. Devei Rav Papa Bar Abba Rishba, Machu Bekulya Vekatli. Rav Papa Bar Abba was also evidently a hunter. And his people would hit the animal on the kidney, and that would kill the animal. So Asla Kamei to Rabbi Abba, they came to Rabbi Abba, and asked, is this a trip? Did they render Kulya's kidney there? Okay. So Omar Lahu, so he replied, are you going to add to the trefos? You only have the ones on the list that the Chachamim established. That was it. So the Gemara asks, but wait a minute again. We see the animal dies, just like in the first one, right? The animal is dying from hitting it on the Gidanasha. That should be a trefa. The animal is dying when you hit it on the kidney. That should be a trefa. That fits the last line in the Mishnah that said, here's the rule. If it can't live, then it's a trefa. To which he answers, Gemiri di Ibadri la Sama or Samtari Chaya. He says, no, because this you can cure medically. You treat it, he has putting some kind of an ointment on it. If you treat it, the animal will live. A true trefa is not something that's treatable. Now, the big question always is the opposite direction. Not adding things to the list of trefos, but removing things from the list of trefos. What if the animal is wounded in a way that's described in the Mishnah, and yet it survives? So the assumption is that this is impossible. That's the classic assumption. Meaning the Rashba has this famous tshuva that everybody loves to quote about the Rashba in science, where the Rashba is told, I am an animal. The animal underwent clearly one of the trefos, and yet it has lived more than 12 months. And he says, I'm sorry, you don't know what you're talking about. Either the animal is substituted for a different animal, something got switched, or you didn't understand what you saw, whatever it is, but it's absolutely categorically impossible that an act would be listed as a trefa here and that the animal would not would not die. That's the Rashba school of thought, and in general it prevails among the Sephardi Rishonim, as opposed to Ashkenazi Rishonim, who seem to be much more apt to suggest Nishtana HaTeva, that things evolve differently. We're not going to change our trefos list. But that which is stated in one generation doesn't necessarily apply medically at a different time. There's nutrition that's different, there's breeding that's different, there's whatever that's different, and as a result, your animals will manifest different phenomena.
Normally, you wouldn't expect animals to die from hitting a
good. Yeah, that's for sure unusual. You could have given the answer of this is a rare phenomenon. The first question would be, what if it got a wound like this and then I shechted it? Will it be kosher? If this wound is a trefa wound, then the animal won't be kosher. So, aside from tumah and tahara, which is its own discussion, the first question is this animal going to be kosher? But yes, you're associated with that, you'd have the question of tumah. Okay. The new Mishnah. We saw the Elu Trefos. Let's see the flip side. Ve'elu Ksheros v'Behema. The following are kosher wounds that an animal can survive. So Nikva HaGargeres Oshanistika. First of all, the trachea is punctured or split. Ad Kama Tachsar. How much can it lose before we call it a trefa? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Ad Ki Isar HaItalki. The width or this area of an Italian Isar. Nifchasa Agugolas Lonikav Krum Shel Malach. If the skull has a gap in it, something was removed from the skull, but the membrane of the brain is still intact. Nikav Alev V'lo Lebeis Chalolo. The heart got punctured, but not all the way through to the inside. We talked about the left ventricle on this earlier. Nishbar Hashadra V'lo Nifsak Achutshala. The spine broke. However, the actual spinal cord remained intact. Nitla Kaved V'nishtayir Emena Kizayis. The liver was removed, but the kizayis of it remains. It can regrow. Hemsis Ubeis HaKosos. The omasum and the reticulum Shenik V'zelatoch Zeh were pierced. However, they're opposite each other, such that one seals the other and they run right into each other. Nidalat Chol. The spleen is removed. The animal will just run faster. That's all. Nitlu haklayos. The kidneys were removed. The Tzmunei Chol quotes studies that say that a ruminant, in the event that the kidneys are removed, will actually substitute the rumen for the kidneys. The rumen will become the space in which toxins are removed from the system. He didn't say how long that will actually go on for, but he describes studies in which this actually went on for some time, and the animal survived despite the loss of both kidneys. The lower jaw was pulled away from the flesh of the animal. The nitla ha'emshala, the uterus, was removed. V'charusa bidei shamayim, as well as the animal, which literally was frightened by heaven, by some natural event, as opposed to by an attack. Rashi quotes the Gemara later on that the lungs shriveled up from fright. Interesting discussion. And then lastly, Hageluda, the animal that had its skin removed, its hide removed, Rashi says from boils or from being scraped during work. So in such a case, Rabbi Meir Machshir, Rabbi Meir says that animal is kosher, but Chacham pose and the Chacham say no, it's not going to survive. And the Gemara is going to have to discuss how much of the hide has been removed in order for it to be called a Geluda like this. Okay. Itmar, we learned. This is now a dislocated hip. No word on hip replacements. But Rav Yochanan Amar Elu Trefos Davka, Rav Shim Ben Lakish Amar Elu Ksheros Davka. We have two different Mishnayos. One Mishnah said, these are the Trefos, and no other. The other Mishnah says, these are the Ksheros, and that implies, and no other. The word Elu is an exclusive term. So that leads me to question, let's see. Rav Yochanan says, Elu Trefos means these are the Trefos, anything else is not a Trefa, even if it's not in your Mishnah of Elu Ksheros. Rish Lakish says, no, Elu Ksheros, and anything else is a trefa, unless it's even if it's not in the mission of Elu Trefos. The Maikim Miflagi, what case were they debating? Bidder of Masna, their debate revolved around the statement of Rav Masna, the Amr of Masna, because Rav Masna said, Hai buka de atma de shaf mi duchte trefa. You have a ball and socket joint in the hip. If the hip bone slips out of the femur, then he says it's going to be a trefa. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Elu Trefos Davka. Rabbi Yochanan says, when we said Elu Trefos, these are the Trefos, that's it. That's all that's on the list. Tana Trefos, it taught the list of Trefos. Vitana Zaklal, and it concluded the Mishnah by saying Zaklal, anything that can't survive, is a Trefa. Vechazye Lidder of Masna, the Asya Bezaklal. And he says, in our Mishnah, they thought about the hip case, the dislocated hip, which Rav Masna would actually mention, and said, yeah, that's included in Zaklal. That's already there, because we said all those that can live. My taima, why is this included? Because it's like some of the other trefas that we mentioned, which had parts of the body removed. So this is like a trefa that had a part of the body removed. So tana elu trefos. So the Mishnah said these are the trefos. Hanihu de trefa. These are, and we meant to exclude Rav Masna's case, the hip. You might have assumed that this was included because it's like the netula. Hadar Rav Masna kshera. No, Rav Masna's case is actually kosher. So Rabbi Yochanan says elu trefos is meant to exclude the dislocated hip. The animal with the dislocated hip is not a trefa. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar elu ksheros dafka. And Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Reish Lakish says just the opposite. He says no, elu ksheros is the specific one. Tana trefos, it listed the trefos. But Tana zaklal, it mentioned the zaklal. But Rav Masna's case would not have been included by the Zehaklal at all. That you should need Elu to exclude it. Why? My taima. Lav lenakuve damya. Velola pasuke damya. Ulenatule namilo damya. It doesn't look like any of the other trefos in the Mishnah. The Mishnah's trefos were animals with puncture wounds, animals with splits in things, animals with an organ that's removed. This is not like any of those. It's not comparable, so I wouldn't have thought to include it. So therefore, that's not what we were doing when we said Elu. It wasn't to exclude this. I wouldn't have thought it was included. So Tana Elu Ksheros, the Elu in our second Mishnah that lists the Ksheros, that's where we said Elu, Haniu de Ksheros, to say these are Ksheros, Hadar of Masna Trefa, and the dislocated hip is a Trefa. So Rabbi Yochanan says Elu Trefos is meant to say these are the Trefos, dislocated hip is not a Trefa. Reish Lakish says no, it's Elu Ksheros is meant to exclude the dislocated hip, but dislocated hip is in fact Trefa.
What do you need
Zaklal
for?
Zaklal
doesn't do anything.
Right, so Zaklal was Shev Shmaisa. That was right before you came in. We saw that in the Gemara. It was to include the Shev Shmaisa from the bottom of Membeis Amud Aleph. Gufa, Amar of Masna, the reiteration of Rav Masna's statement, which we just quoted in the beginning. Hai buka or buchna de atma de shafmi duchte. If the animal has a dislocated hip, trefa. This has major ramifications, by the way, because we say the trefa is for an animal. We connect the trefa for human beings. So this is a major issue.
He's never going to die from a dislocated hip.
I honestly don't know. I have no experience whatsoever taking care of an animal with or without a dislocated hip. But you're right; it does seem strange. But again, I don't know anything.
Yeah, but by an animal, we always learn rakuva lamala and rakuva lamata. By man, does that apply?
So part of the question of making such analogies is how you handle the different body parts. But Rava Amar Kshera, Rava says in any case, don't worry, don't panic, the animal's kosher. The Ifsik Nive Trefa, it only becomes a Trefa if Nive are cut. So Rashi says that it's the round ligament which anchors the femur in the socket. What happens is, if you look at Mitzvunechol, he has some nice pictures of this. He says you have the ball and socket, so there's actually a ligament inside the socket that's connecting to the ball of the bone. And that's what it's referring to. However, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that's not what this is referring to. You also have additional ligaments that anchor the femur to the hip bone that are outside of the ball and socket. The ball and socket are here, and then you have ligaments that run from the hip bone to the femur, connecting them. So that's interesting. Right, and that would, I mean, that answers the question also of this being more than a mechanical deterioration. Right, good. The problem is the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch go with the external ones. they say it's the ligaments that are connecting the two bones. The Hilchasa, and this is the law, if Signami Kshera, the truth of the matter is it's kosher even if Nivei are cut, Ad Demis Akwa is Akule, unless there's an actual deterioration. Now, he doesn't say here what it is that's deteriorating. I looked and looked, and I can't find anyone who says what it is that's deteriorating. Does he mean the bone, or does he mean the ligament? I think he must mean the bone. Yeah, I have to think that that's what he's referring to, is that it's the bone deteriorating, because once you tell me that having the ligament severed doesn't render it a trefa, I can't think that deterioration of a ligament will be any different. You could argue that point, but I think he means the bone itself. It's only if the bone is actually deteriorating that that we say that there's something else going on here. Okay. Really? He says that it's the ligament deteriorating.
So the Stein cells.
Interesting. All right. So then the answer must be what I would have argued originally would have been that maybe deterioration is a sign, in fact, of some greater decay. Something else is going on that's wrong. If it's split, so it's a mechanical problem. If it is deterioration, maybe there's death of cells due to some kind of problem, or maybe there's some kind of infection that's going to spread. Okay. Ad kama techsar. So we've talked about the isar as a measure of area for a significant hole. So Amar Ziri atundlo mitach melachon shiura shiura bedinra kurdina. He says you've never seen this isar ha'italki that we talk about, so you should know. Use a Kurdish dinar. There were Kurdish Jews. The Kurdish Jews traced themselves all the way back to either the Galus from the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, or even earlier, some suggest that they go back to the Asaras Hashvatim, among the Kurds. Yitzhak Ben Svi, the president of the State of Israel, called the Kurdish Jews who came back the Ovdim Me'eretz Ashur. We don't know much about them until about the 12th century or so. Binyamin Mitudela goes to visit them. The poet Al-Kharizi goes to visit them. But in any case, he had this Kurdish dinar. That's your Isar Ha'italki for your purposes. Vavi Kipshita Zutrisi. It's like these little simple coins. You can find them in Pumbedisa in Fallujah. You can find these coins. Amar Rabbi Chana Pesora. Remember that Pesora is a table, and the money changers used tables. They would take the door, they would turn it on its side, and then they would use it as a table, and that's where they worked as money changers. So Rabbi Chana of the table tells the following story. Ilaminoi Havakoi Bar Nafcha, the blacksmith. Similar thing, the nafach is the bellows that the blacksmith uses. So he says, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha stood above me, uba mini, and he asked me for a dinra kurdina l'shari beitreksa. He wanted to know, could he get a coin from me to use for measuring a tree? But he wanted this Kurdish dinar. Uboyle make him come in. I wanted to stand up for him, Voloshev County, but he wouldn't let me. Amarli said to me, shave bini, shave, sit, my son, sit. The Ben Yishchai in his Ben Yehoyada talks about why he says sit twice. He says don't rise or don't even half rise, or don't rise for my wisdom and don't rise for my age. All sorts of different, he gives like four different explanations. But he says sit, my son, sit.
This is Rabbi Yochanan.
Oh, Rabbi Yochanan is the one he's calling Bar Nafcha. Okay. Oh, because he's saying Bar not as Bar, but Bar as Bar. Okay. He's saying, okay. He says, you're not allowed to stand up. People who are engaged in their craft are not allowed to stand for Talmidei Chachamim at the time when Talmidei Chachamim are coming to them, because they are busy with work. Rashi says they're working on other people's property. Someone gave them something to work on, and therefore their time is not their own. However, Tosfos says no, even their own work. Because that's chisaron kis, and the Gemara in Kiddushin says that you're not responsible to give honor in a way that's going to cause you a loss of parnasa. So even if you're just making stuff that you're going to sell later on, you don't have to rise. So the Gemara says, "Velo, is that really so?" But no, the Mishnah says, "Kobale umnius omdim mipneim v'sholim b'shlomon v'omer l'machinu anshei mekom ploni boachem b'sholom." When the people bringing the bikurim would come to town, everybody went out to greet them, and the people doing their work would go out and welcome them. So what do you mean the craftsmen don't stand up? So Rav Yochanan mipnei hem omdin. Mipnei talmid chachamim ein omdin. Rav Yochanan says you rise for them, for the people bringing the bikurim, but you do not rise on behalf of the talmid chacham. For that you do not rise. Rav Yosi bar Avin says bo re'e kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. See how beloved it is when one is doing a mitzvah at its proper time. You rise for them. You don't rise for Talmidei Chachamim. To which the Gemara says, you know, that may not be the reason. How do you know that's why we stand? Maybe the answer is, people bring in the Bikurim, they schlep from all that distance, you're afraid that they're going to get disappointed if they come in and no one notices them. So you want to make sure that they'll come back. So therefore, we tell people to rise. Nonetheless, this is quoted by Halacha. The Sefer Hasidim and the Taz, I gave you the references on your sheet. Quote this as halacha, that you stand when you see someone performing a mitzvah. They don't even say b'shaita. They say you stand when you see someone performing a mitzvah. The Yerushalmi says that that's why we rise when a funeral goes by. The Gemara says that even if you're not needed for it, you're not going to escort it, you have to rise when it goes by. He says they're not rising for the mace. They're rising for the people who are escorting the mace in their honor because they are engaged in a mitzvah. You could make that argument regarding standing when the people go down to the chuppah. The classic question of who do you stand for or whatever. And is that a mitzvah? Is it not a mitzvah for in terms of the couple? But the people who are escorting them for sure are performing a mitzvah. That's its own discussion. But in any case, the idea is that you stand when you see people performing a mitzvah. The Talmid Chacham may well be learning Torah, in which case you do have to stand. But if he's not, he's just a Talmid Chacham, then you continue doing your work. You're not responsible for losing money for it. Okay, good. Last piece here. Amar Rav Nachman, you're talking about shiurim and the shiur for a selah. So Amar Rav Nachman, kisela ki yeser mi kisela. Ki iser, ki yeser mi ki iser. When you talk about these coins and their areas, so when if you have precisely a selah's area, that's like more than a selah. If you have an iser's area, that's like more than an iser. Rashi says that on the iser case, it's like regarding a skull with a hole in it, or like the trachea. That's what we're talking about. Tosos is bothered by that, though, because regarding the skull discussion, it's about Tumah and Tahara as well, and it's measuring up, not down. In other words, we say a hole of this size means that it's still Tameh. A hole of this size is still Tameh. It's a hole of this size, then it's already Tahor. So your Ad measure was up to, not down to. You follow, and therefore it's not it won't be consistent with our discussion here. Tosfos says what we mean here when we say this is when you're measuring here it's he says this is a punctured stomach. The point is that when we say ad ki iser, what we mean is the iser itself is considered like more than an iser.
Once it reaches that size, then it's definitely a treifa.
Exactly. Then it's definitely going to be a treifa. The Tumah Tahara will leave aside. But yes, it will definitely be considered a treifa. So, Alma Kesav Rav Nachman ad velo ad bichlal. You see that Rav Nachman's view is that up to means up to but not including. That's the idea. So the Gemara now brings a series of challenges to this idea. Esve Ravaler of Nachman. Rava challenges of Nachman. He says, well, we learn the following regarding Toma and Tahara. There's a mattress and there's a rope attached to the mattress. So they used to use the rope for various purposes. But if the rope is smaller than 5 tefach, it's useless. You can't use it to pull the mattress. You can't use it. Rashi says they had a practice of tying the Karban Pesach to the mattress to commemorate what was done in Mitzrayim, where they tied the Karban Pesach. So they continued to tie the Karban Pesach year after year to the mattress. The Margolios HaShas quotes a minug in Bells to take a last batch of matzah that you baked and to put it on the bed of the Rav. I don't know if this was the Bells of Rebbe or just a Rav in the town, but to do it. And he says maybe that was to commemorate that minug. They would take the matzah and put it there. But in any case, the rope that extends from the mattress up till five tefach, it's tahor. So my love chamisha kilimata, he says, doesn't that mean that at five tefach it's like less than? So ad was ad bichlal, was including at five. Lo, not necessarily chamisha kilimata. I could just as easily say five tefach is like more than five tefach. The Tashma, we bring a second attempt from that same Mishnah. Mehei ve'ad asara tamei. We say from 5 tefach to 10 tefach, tamei. So, my love asara kilamata, doesn't that mean that 10 tefach is tamei just like less than 10? Lo, not necessarily. Asara kilamala, 10 tefach is like more than 10 tefach. Rabbi Yaakov Enden notes something very interesting here. He says, if you look at the Tosefta in Kalim, it's explicit that 10 tefach is like more than 10 tefach. It actually says it straight out, and he suggests that the Tosefta had layers added over time, and at the time when this was written in the Gemara, they didn't have that Tosefta yet, and that was added later, rather than assume that that the author here was simply learning the Mishnah and was ignorant of the Tosefta. He says the Tosefta didn't exist. That's his suggestion.
Isn't that a common belief? Tosefta came after?
That there were layers of Tosefta that were added on later on. I don't know. I don't know whether this was common in Rabbi Yaakov Emden's day. I'd be a little surprised, but I'm not aware. Tashma, third of the arguments here. Hadakin shebekle cheres. We talk about the minimum shear for a kli to be able to receive tumah. So if you have a pottery jug, it's a small pottery jug. Hain, the jugs themselves, vikarkaroseyan, and their bottoms, vidofnoseyan, and their sides, yoshvin shalomasumachin, as long as it can sit without being supported by something, the shiurin vichtei sichas katan ve'ad log. So the shear is, would a katan be able to anoint himself with it? Is there enough oil in it that he could anoint himself? I think we talked about the sicha of an etzba katan. I didn't look this up, but I seem to remember. It's about a small finger being anointed with it, or they talk about the finger of a katan. But the point is, some minimal shear of oil up until a log. So, my love log kilamata, doesn't that mean the log is the lower shear, the lesser, within a lesser range? Ad bichlal? Lo, not necessarily. Log kilamala, I'll tell you that a log is with the upper area beyond the beyond this, and therefore it's ad, below ad bichlal. We keep measuring up to. That's the idea. And that was Tosa's point on that Rashi earlier. I don't think I stated it right, but Tosa's point on the Rashi earlier, these are shiurim of up to things. And we're saying that Rav Nachman is saying that the ad stops at that point and is and then the shiur itself is considered to be in the range that's above. Whatever that is, whether it's the length of a rope, or the size of a hole, or the volume of a kli, and the Gemara is going to continue with these questions. I told Rabbi Vail that I would stop there, so we'll stop there. Thank you very much.